Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the third and final hour of the Hagman and Hagman Report. It is Monday, Tuesday. Let's go with Tuesday. That's better feel to it. Stan Deo is celebrating his wedding anniversary. So if you're out there and if you like Stan, drop Stan and Holly an email wishing them a very happy anniversary. Number of years together. What a great couple they are. So definitely do that. Wish them a happy wedding anniversary. And that you can blame it on us. You can blame it on us that we said, you know, we let the cat out of the bag on that one. Now, folks, before we get back into the programming, I hope everyone has had the opportunity to check out nuts.com. But if you haven't, if you're new to listening to this program, right now we're broadcasting right now. I can just see the stats on this, 14 different countries. We've got thousands of new listeners. Folks, nuts.com, what a great website. We found this website a while back and to actually talk to the head nut at nuts.com. You know, nuts.com have the best tasting peanuts, cashews, all nuts, all varieties of nuts, best tasting on the planet, and various other snack options as well. Folks, go to nuts.com and enter the microphone code HH. You got to go to nuts.com, enter the microphone HH. Why would you do that? Because when you do that, it takes you to our own little world at nuts.com. And there, for new customers, you can actually get 4 free samples of out of over 50 different options of their products. That's a $15 value right now when you go to nuts.com and click on the mic and enter our code HH. You know what, folks? This is a family-owned business. I mean, you talk about what America's all about. Family-owned business. Talk to the head nut, as I mentioned. And when I spoke with him on the phone, I was surprised, actually, that he came to the phone. And, you know, what do you say to the CEO of a company like this? How's it going? What you doing? You know, and he was in the middle of a quality control inspection. So that's how hands-on these people are. Nuts.com, microphone code HH, and our favorites, oh, man, dried fruit, the sweet treats. And you know what? They've got some great coffees and teas, over 39 different varieties, 170 flavors. And they're just, it's a fantastic company. So, folks, right now, new customers get 4 free samples. Choose from over 50 options. It's a $15 value. When you go to nuts.com, enter our code HH in the microphone box. That's nuts.com. Enter our code HH for 4 free samples with your order. Go to nuts.com for full details. And speaking of good companies, great companies, remember a couple of weeks ago we had Michael Terrell on our show, and he explained how specific music was inspired by the music frequencies of King David. Yes, that's right. Let me ask you this. Are you sick of being stressed, overwhelmed, unmotivated?
Let me ask you.
Yeah. ask Eric, the show of hands, take a poll here. Stressed, overwhelmed, unmotivated? Well, I'm not sure about unmotivated, but you know what? If you feel like life is running you instead of running your life, you're not alone. Now, finally, you can experience the scientifically proven powers of music therapy with Whole Tones. This is a collection, folks, of proven music therapy, and it helps you reduce stress. And you know, sometimes, well, Eric had to duct tape me to the chair earlier today and put on Whole Tones. And you know, I was unable to break free. But anyway, you can ease your mind and motivate you. You can get started today. And folks, I'd urge you to do this. And you can listen to a free sample of this amazing music that heals and inspires at WholeTonesLive.com. That's WholeTonesLive.com. We had one of many happy Whole Tones clients who wrote, you know, I started playing Whole Tones throughout my workday. Not only was I more creative and motivated, the work I was doing seemed easier and clearer. And let me tell you something. When I love to write, And Joe can attest to this. I used to play classical music in the background in my office, right? Okay. Not anymore. I've got a new music source, and that's WholeTonesLive.com. Folks, go to the website. Download a free sample at WholeTonesLive.com. Support the Hagman and Hagman Report and go to WholeTonesLive.com. That's Whole, W-H-O-L-E. That's WholeTonesLive.com, WholeTonesLive.com. Now, we've got so much to get into tonight in the remaining this hour of the show. Joe, I'm going to toss it to you. What's on your mind?
Well, here's where we're going to start with the Hillary Clinton email scandal. More information, new information has come out. Hillary Clinton emails held info beyond top secret, according to the Attorney General. Email from Hillary Clinton, I'm sorry, not the Attorney General, the IG.
Inspector General.
Inspector General. Emails from Hillary Clinton's home server contained information classified at levels higher than previously known, including a level meant to protect some of the most sensitive U.S. intelligence, according to a document obtained by NBC News. In a letter to lawmakers, the intelligence community's internal watchdog says some of Clinton's emails contained information classified top secret special access program, a secrecy designation that includes some of the most closely held U.S. intelligence matters. Two American intelligence officials tell NBC News that there are not the same two emails from Clinton's server that have long been reported as containing information deemed top secret. The letter doesn't make clear whether Clinton sent or received the emails in question, but in the past, emails containing classified information have tended to have been sent to Clinton, not written by her. The new revelation underscores the extent to which the email classification issue could continue to dog Clinton as State Department and intelligence officials review sensitive information with messages that were blocked out before being released to the public. Clinton, whose top national primary polling as Democrat presidential candidate, has repeatedly said none of the information she sent or received while Secretary of State was marked classified, and nothing has emerged to contradict that. But it's become clear that classified information bled into the emails, which were sent over unencrypted channels open to interception by foreign intelligence agencies. Now, this is what the article says. I'm going to go back through this. It says that Clinton has, nothing has emerged to contradict that Clinton says nothing marked classified came through her, email account. Well, she had as it came out last week, an aide take the classification markings off of the
email. Exactly.
So, and even in doing that, that is a felony in itself, her asking an aide to do that. So regardless as if they came across as marked or not, her asking an aide to unmark them is the same difference as her unmarking them herself, which would make her guilty of federal offenses, even according to the information provided in this article, if it is validated as fact. But we were told, you know, by her that no information, no classified information came over her email, private email server. If you remember back to
the entirety of this it's been a moving target and a moving target of falsities and of deliberate deception on the part of Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton. And if you remember, folks, in the YouTube, I did a video investigative report, and I think it was one of the first, we were one of the first, media sources to mention the, server being out in the Midwest or in the West,
Colorado. In the bathroom.
Closet, at her home, and naming the you know, putting together. In fact, I had a whiteboard in that. Anyway, but go ahead, continue, because this is critical.
The whole point of
Benghazi is part of this.
And there's the new film that is out in theaters, 13 Hours.
Yep.
It has since come out also that let me get the title right here, that they have confirmed that a rescue mission to Benghazi, as that it was unfolding on September 11th, 2012, as that situation was unfolding, it has come out that there was an envoy sent there to rescue that was turned back turned back. And I'm looking for the actual report here. I'll have to find it. But what's the end game of this? I mean, there's been enough that has come out that the FBI, who has stated on Fox News and MSNBC from different spokespeople that if there is found to be, you know, if it is found that she did break the law, that they would prosecute. It doesn't matter her station in politics or, you know, who she is. She can't be shielded from, you know, basically Petraeus, the former head of the CIA, went through kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, he's been charged. He's been sentenced and is on probation right now. But here we have a potential president of the United States, definitely going to be very close in the running for the Democratic nominee, if not already getting the ticket of nominee. But we have this huge criminal investigation underway. And how does this end? Do
well,
we get a,
yeah.
do we get a president-elected who's arrested? Do we get, I mean, it's just so mind-boggling.
You know,
in the fact that all the information's come out, they haven't done, taken any action yet.
But are will they take action?
Yeah,
I mean, look, and I think what's really important is the background as well behind the Clintons. When you go back into the early days, and don't forget, Hillary Diane Rodham was part of the White or Nixon's Watergate investigation. Remember that, folks? She was an integral part of that, and she was kicked off of the investigative team. She was a young lawyer at the time, or an intern, I suppose. But nonetheless, she was kicked off because she wanted to stretch, shall we say, the truth about Watergate, or do some things that were not really customary, traditional, or investigatively, or investigative, it didn't conform to investigative standards. So I said that to say this. She has experience, and there are some people who have written some extremely important books about the Clintons. And if you don't think the women aspect of the Clintons is important, you think again, because it speaks that alone. Or that too, I shouldn't say alone, that too speaks about not just the character, but about their criminal, or their, what we call, their continuing course of criminal conduct. And, this all ties together, and it's just amazing when you really get into the background of the Clintons. So my question, and your question, I think this is the question, what's, you know, what is the end game of the powers that be? Are they setting her up to fail, or are they? What are they doing?
Well, yeah. At the same time, I see these headlines that, you know, Clinton, new information has come out about the email scandal, and she looks more and more guilty as those
right.
headlines come out. We're seeing headlines at the same time that says Bernie Sanders is flourishing in the polls in New Hampshire and in Iowa.
You know, if I can just interject something here with respect to the polls.
Right.
And folks, look, aside from the accuracy of the polls, Sanders, the one thing that about Sanders, people can get excited about the early suggestions of Sanders' popularity, but Sanders will not carry the South, even in the Democratic side.
Mm-mm.
He's not going to carry the South. He might be popular in New Hampshire. He might be popular in California. But certainly, when it comes to the Bible Belt and the South, the Carolinas, no way is Sanders going to be able to carry anything. He won't be able to carry his water down there. So just keep that in the back of your mind. So take Sanders out of the equation. What's left?
Possibly Joe Biden, Malloy, and Clinton. But like I said, it looks like they're... And I forget who it was on our show who gave the perfect explanation to what we see going on. And that is basically they're keeping Hillary down as far as trying to, she's not having to worry about answering questions on policies or, you know, what she would or wouldn't do in certain situations. She's fielding off these, allegations. and they're going to continue to keep her busy so she doesn't have to answer those policy questions, because her policies are so horrific that if she were to become president, we would all be in a lot of trouble. As it doesn't really matter who becomes president, we're still going to be in a lot of trouble. I think it just matters on the timing and the way they do things. The end game is still the same, the end result still being the same, that the globalist agenda is still implemented. It's just the way they do it and how they do it, I believe, that is what makes the difference here.
Have you? I want to interject something here because I think this is important. What, folks, we're following an investigative report, and whether this could be a false flag, indication of a false flag, or some other type of something else. I just want to alert everyone, and I don't know how many people know about this. There is an investigation being conducted right now about a potential plot, a terror attack plot at the Super Bowl. And this revolves around...
No, I didn't hear this, okay. But what I did see today was interesting. Apparently there was some... was there a Grammy show or some kind of award show in the last couple days?
Yeah, Oscars? Yeah, you're talking about the black
No. There's an upcoming show that Chris Rock is hosting.
Right,
the Oscars.
Yeah,
that's upcoming.
Yeah.
But there was just recently an award show last weekend also. Well, there was the first time that they had actual military men in camo gear with machine guns patrolling the areas inside and out, doing the security.
Okay.
Even some of the actresses and actors on Twitter took to Twitter to say as much, you know, that I've never seen some, you know, the armed guards, and that they said there was no clear or credible threat as to the award show. So they were wondering why they were seeing the people in full military gear there and wondering if it was going to become the new norm.
Well, yeah, and that's a great question. Yeah,
so are these events getting some kind of threat, you know, whether it's an Oscars or a Super Bowl? Super Bowl's always a big one.
Yeah, well, the FBI is investigating a possible attack at the Super Bowl, a series of attacks on fiber optic cables.
I heard about this in San Francisco, yeah.
Yeah, and again, we're bringing this to your attention, not for, you know, not coming at this... from a, you know, oh my goodness, you know, don't go to the Super Bowl or there could be an attack, because I don't believe that to be the case. I think, however, you know, at least not from an indigenous threat from radical Islamic terrorists alone. Now, that could be compounded perhaps by someone facilitating that narrative, but I do believe that we need to be on the lookout for these very issues and start watching, or at least be monitoring what's taking place. So go ahead, Joe. I mean, but I just want to make sure I mention that, because we are following this. We will keep you updated, and we will see where this leads.
Yeah, and other news here, this is something I wanted to make sure we covered today. The U.S. military wants a chip to translate your brain activity into binary code. It's been a weird day for weird science. Not long after researchers claimed victory in performing a head transplant on a monkey, the U.S. military's Blue Sky R&D agency announced a completely insane plan to build a chip that would enable the human brain to communicate directly with computers. What is the weird, surreal future? It's all real, believe it or not, or at least DARPA desperately wants us to believe it is. The first wireless brain-to-computer interface actually popped up a few years ago, and DARPA's worked on various brain chip projects over the past years. But there are shortcomings to existing technology, according to today's announcement. Current brain-computer interfaces are akin to two supercomputers trying to talk to each other and using old 300 baud modem.
Yep.
They just aren't fast enough for truly transformative neurological applications, like resorting vision or restoring vision to a blind person. This would involve connect to a camera that can transmit visual information directly to the brain, and the implant would translate the data into neural language. To accomplish this, magnificent
thing. It's been a long day.
It's like brain certificate. I used to say that when I was a kid. Anyway, to accomplish this feat, DARPA is launching a new program called the Neural Engineering System Design that stands to squeeze some characteristic bonker innovation out of the science community. In a press release, the agency describes what is undoubtedly the closest thing to Johnny mnemonic plot line you've ever seen in real life.
Oh, man.
It reads, a new DARPA program aims to develop an implantable neural interface able to provide unprecedented signal resolution and data transfer bandwidth between the human brain and the digital world. The interface would serve as a translator, converting between the electrochemical language used by neurons in the brain and the ones and zeros that constitute the language of information technology. Now, the article ends there, but we have to remember the president's brain initiative. The president, a few years ago, launched the brain initiative that not only allowed DARPA to map the brain and science to map the brain, but allowed it to understand how the brain functions, what areas of the brain serve, you know, to what functions, and how they can, as we know, we only use, what, 3 to 10% of our brain? How they can expand on
supposedly,
that.
Supposedly,
and this article goes into the next article I wanted to get into, which is from, I don't know what's up with the internet. It's been running slow the last 20 minutes.
Oh, it's been crazy.
But the article headline is, could this be humanity's last century? And it's a server not found. I know we're connected.
Well,
but they say that due to the... Remember we talked about the new genetically modified children?
The designer children, actually.
Here it is. Could this be humanity's last century? Experts say the re-engineering of our children will lead to the creation of a new species. He believes, and this is Seth Shostak, director of the SETI Institute.
Yep.
He believes designer babies will create a new type of human. Our children will be as different from us as dogs are to gray wolves. Artificial intelligence will also change society, he says, with robots taking over our jobs. It won't be war, politics, or poverty that eventually wipes out humanity. The end will come about as a result of designer babies and artificial intelligence. Well, I can't argue with him on the artificial intelligence. The outspoken director of the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence Institute believes developments in these areas will lead to a new alien-type species. We can eventually produce offspring that are different from us as dogs are to gray wolves, he said in an opinion piece for SETI. I'm not talking about the various self-destructive threats of the movement, the ones that fill the papers and spark pontification on the nightly news. No, the three big things I believe will take place in the 21st century are more profound and not necessarily bad. The first change, he believes, is that we'll finally understand biology at a molecular level. As a result, humanity will be able to cure all diseases and usher in a new era of designer babies. Second, he believes that humanity will expand into nearby space and to drive to gain more resources, such as copper, zinc, and platinum. He says this will help alleviate overpopulation. And everyone expects our prodigy to establish colonies on the moon or Mars. But the better deal is to build huge orbiting habits in which you can live without space suits. We can eventually produce offspring that are so different. Oh, that's the same quote.
Yeah.
But it's just not designer babies and space colonies that will change humanity as we know it. Before 2100, Shostak predicts that we will develop a generalized artificial intelligence. This will allow machines to take over our jobs that are normally done by humans, such as machines that won't necessarily be large. It'll be a synapsis in your brain and a few thousand nanometers in size. A transistor chip, a transistor on a chip is 100 times smaller. The hardware necessary for human-level smarts, even today, could fit in an iPad. Scientists claim these developments over the long term will dwarf concerns in politics, war, and economics, but he adds, putting large number of people in off-Earth colonies will inevitably lead to the end of humanity as we know it.
Yeah, this is the attempt to, search or agenda to obtain the status of God, small g.
This reminds me of Daniel 8:20, or in Daniel, where it says they will mingle together with men, but they shall not cleave. This is the transhumanism at every aspect, and this is the eternal life outside of the heavenly or hell realm that exists for eternity, depending on what you believe. And
that's right.
Where the Lord sends you.
You know, now, folks, I'm going to give you some good, solid information. You know, we're all very concerned with our privacy when we go online, are we not? I mean, I think most of us are, and I think most of us realize we're being tracked everywhere we go.
I don't think I anymore. I just assume that.
Oh, of course.
Everything's been monitored, and I don't assume anything's private.
Well, let me share some positive, proactive things you can do to protect your privacy when you are online. And this is, I'm citing now from daily.com. They put together 10 steps, 10 anti-surveillance tools that protect your privacy online. And I think this is so important.
You said this to us earlier.
Yeah, I did. I found this to be extremely important. I think, folks, if you're out there and if you are searching from a home-based computer, for example, if you're running searches or whatever you might be doing on a home-based computer, to take these 10 anti-surveillance tools and you can protect your privacy. For example, I'm going to go through them very quickly here. The Tor, T-O-R browser is a very secure web browser. Now, I'm not advocating anything except I'm just quoting from daily.com. And this will help you. Okay. Now, there are alternatives to these, but the Tor browser, for example, you know, when you're on the internet, tracking, surveillance, very pervasive. Tor, T-O-R, it offers you an anonymous window to the web. Even if you don't use Tor on a daily basis, it could be, it can be, by the way, slower than your standard browser. It's smart to always keep the option of anonymity there in privacy on hand, even if you don't use it every day. Tor, by the way, created and largely funded by the U.S. government, is used by millions of different people, from journalists to globe-trotting businessmen, okay, to criminals, to military, okay. The software does not judge its users' morals, depending on what you might find, but it does offer strong encryption services. So that's the Tor browser. So if you want to browse online, Signal is a secure messaging and calling app for, if you have an Android or an iPhone, either one, check out Signal. Now, you know, if you've got a smartphone, that is a hacker's and spy's dream. It gives up an enormous amount of information to anyone within range. Speaking of that, Blockit Pocket is an actual physical protection for smartphones and iPhones, so people cannot grab, for example, information from your phone if they're trying to do so. It just shields your phone from everything. You won't get calls. You won't, you know. So Blockit Pocket. If you go to HagmanandHagman.com, you can see the link there. But Signal is a secure messaging and calling app for Android and iPhone. It offers powerful, absolutely powerful encryption. It protects your communications, and best of all, there's nothing. It's user friendly. Okay. Cubes, and that would be QUBESOS. Now that's a secure operating system for when your entire computer needs privacy and protection. The Cubes, QUBES operating system, it's people's number one choice. It gained significance in the spotlight back a couple of years ago when Snowden endorsed a live system aimed at maintaining your anonymity. I don't recall what that was, but nonetheless, Cubes offers a different key advantage against malware. So, Cubes, Q-U-B-E-S. How about a free password manager? Now, if you're like most people, you share the same password across multiple accounts. Oh, and that's bad to do.
Yeah, we have to all try to get out of that habit.
Yes.
And in doing so, I mean, my wife's really good at this. She creates the most, the craziest passwords, and it's great that she does it. It's hard to keep track of because you got to change them frequently. And she never uses the same one twice for any two accounts.
Well, that's great, man. You know,
it is great, but at the same time, you have to keep track of those.
And therein lies this, or LastPass, L-A-S-T, pass. It's a free password manager, and it's a simple, it's simple to use. It's an easy fix. Password managers like LastPass, and there's another one called One, the number one password. They make it really simple to create strong passwords that vary across all of your accounts, and then they keep track of them for you. Okay, so do the password thing right, and don't put, you know, password for your password or 123 ABC or whatever it might be. So we're giving you options here to protect your. If people say, "Well, you talk about problems, never give solutions." Here we are. Okay, how about software for secure email? There's many options out there, Proton Mail and such, but PGP, software for secure email, it's look, email's not the most secure medium of communication. PGP is a gold standard, really, for securing email messages with encryption. Well, anyway, PGP, the software for secure email there, I'm not going to get more into that. How about a secure file deleter? Hey, Hillary. Eraser. Delete, folks. Delete does not mean delete, at least not on your computer. When you try to get rid of a file on your PC, it stays resident on your hard drive some time.
There's two parts of the hard drive. You have the hard drive that has the information in it. Then there's a magnet that also stores any and everything that you had on that computer.
Plus, there are bits and pieces. The emails and anything can be reconstructed on your hard drive. Look up Eraser. E-R-A-S-E-R. Look up Eraser. And none of these are foolproof. I mean, look, if I had a hard drive with, you know, deep dark secrets on it that I wanted to make sure no one got, I would have to, you know, sledgehammer it, bury it, you know, cut it, you know, with a torch or, you know, whatever you, but certainly, but short of that, Eraser is a good, is a good tool. How about blocking, an ad blocking tool? Well, there's uBlock, small U, capital B, L O C K, uBlock.
Okay.
Okay. They block ads, you know, because you know what, folks, when ads show up, now we're talking about, these very intrusive ads.
Sometimes you pull up a web page, and here's an example I come across daily. You come across a web page, you find a story you want to read, you pull it up, and you start reading the first line, and a full page ad pops up on the screen where there's no X out button. It's almost like do what we ask, and then you can read the article. I don't know if you've come across those, answer this quick survey question to access the rest of the content. This is those are very annoying and intrusive ads. And we see those all the time. And those are those are a few of the overt
That's
ones.
Right.
You get other ones that block, you know, half the page or pop up in the middle of the page. You get some that.
Well, I like uBlock because it actually keeps track of the number of requests blocked. And such, it's an interesting, and this is really a good tool. That's uBlock, the letter uBlock, all one word. How about an anti-tracking browser extension? Okay, take another step to avoid online tracking. Ghostery. That's ghost E-R-Y. It's an anti-tracking browser extension, and. Ghostery shows you, it shows you how many companies, how many different entities are tracking you online. It helps you block about 2,000 trackers. They update their database all the time, and they allow you to become unencumbered by this tracking that we see. Orbot, O-R-B-O-T. If you've got an Android and you... If you use an Android, so, you know, you gotta understand, cell phones are tracking devices that make telephone calls. Now think about that statement. Cell phones, what are they? They are tracking devices that make phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
All cell phones have internal global positioning systems.
Yep.
Inside of them, and you can choose to turn your location off, but that only works to a certain extent as far yep. as app permissions are concerned.
Well, Orbot provides a secure web browser for Android, and you can, folks, you can look up these anti-surveillance tools on your own, but Orbot, it's a secure web browser for the Android devices. And then you've got Secure Instant Messenger, but realize nothing is secure when you're dealing with online Wi-Fi stuff. Tor, T-O-R, Messenger, you know, it's been around for a long time, but it's a good tool that provides really the most secure way yet to protect your instant messages from unwanted readers. It's a free software. You can talk over Google Talk, Facebook Chat, and other mediums with off-the-record encryption protection. That's Tor, T-O-R, Messenger. So hopefully, folks, we've provided at least some level of assistance for anti-piracy, anti-surveillance when you're online. So consider those as well. We just wanted to offer you, the listeners of this program, some ideas for anti-piracy, anti-surveillance, anti-tracking, anti-ad tracking, and whatever else. But there are some ideas for you. And I want to say something else too. You know, when we have, for example, we attempt to monetize. I mean, to offset, to run a show like this and to run a website or multiple websites, it's difficult when you just have no idea the expenses involved in all of this. So if we have AdSense or Google advertising on our website, you can block that. I mean, it's no big deal. But it's amazing to me how many people don't understand how those work, because we see reports critical of us saying, oh, they're actually promoting Muslim Islamic things. Islamic Qurans.
You're talking about the Google ads,
right? But see, what the very people who complain about that don't understand is those ads are tailored to their search history. So so the very people who are out there saying, "Oh, Doug and Joe Hagman,"
well,
you know what?
I got
what?
A good example of this. My laptop, went. I had a problem where my screen broke on the laptop. Mm-hmm. So we had to get a new laptop. And part of getting a new laptop is installing all the old software that you use. Mm-hmm. Microsoft Office being one that's essential here at the Hagman and Hagman Studios, as you need Outlook to connect through our email system and, Microsoft Word to create publications and whatnot. Well, go ahead and I put the new software on the computer, and lo and behold, all I see now are, this is like day three or day two of having the computer, I just get constant ads for Microsoft Office. Even
That's right.
I just already, uploaded it onto this computer.
So, yeah, and we said all that just to say this, because people make this big thing and they'll create these massive posts and say, well, they can't be Christians because they're promoting the Quran or promoting Islamic stuff. Well, these noobs, these dimwits, and I'm sorry, dimwits is the nicest thing I could say about these people, who say, well, look at this. This proves it. They're not Christian. Come on. It's based on your search habits, not our ad choices. That's all I want to say about that. So, it's just amazing to me. And you get people that feed into this and, oh my goodness, oh yeah, look at that. And it's ridiculous. So protect yourself as well when you're on the internet. And that's what you need to do. You need to protect yourself because, we are entering into, well, we are using watcher technology, but we're using watcher technology as a force multiplier against the enemy, I'd like to think, because shows like this and Dave Hodges and Sheila's and the shows carried on Global Star, man, I really like to believe that we are making a difference. I don't know. Maybe
we are making a difference.
Yeah, I think so.
Reading
so,
the mail, reading the emails.
Yeah,
definitely making a difference.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting article that something that we should cover. Judge rejects Obama's executive privilege claim over Fast and Furious records. This is out today from Politico. The Justice Department's own public disclosures undercut the president's privilege claim. Judge Amy Berman, yes, Amy Berman Jackson ruled. A federal judge has rejected President Obama's assertion of executive privilege to deny Congress access to records pertaining to Operation Fast and Furious, a gun running probe that allegedly allowed thousands of weapons to flow across the border into Mexico. Now, folks, if you, for those who remember, this is one of the first big presidential scandals that was swept under the rug. Was there was 1,001 excuses made as to why this was not a criminal. These were not criminal actions, and they were, you know, justified by the Department of Justice and whatnot. But it goes on to say the U.S. District Court Judge Amy Jackson ruled Tuesday that the Justice Department's public disclosures about its response to the so-called gunwalking controversy undercut Obama's executive privilege claim. There is no need to balance the need against the impact that the revelation of any record could have on candor in future executive decision-making, since any harm that might flow from the public revelation of the deliberations at issue here have already been self-inflicted, Jackson wrote. The department itself has already publicly revealed the sum and substance of the very material it is now seeking to withhold. Any harm that would flow from the disclosures sought here would be merely incremental. The records must be produced. Jackson said she was not questioning the propriety of Obama's claim of privilege, but ruling that the claim could not be sustained in view of other information the Justice Department had released on the topic, chiefly the Office of Inspector General's report released on September 2012. This ruling is not predicated on the finding that the withholding was intended to cloak wrongdoings on the part of government officials or that the withholding itself was improper, the judge wrote.
Yeah.
So the documents are going to have to be released.
You know, the one thing that we do want to that I'd like to talk about, folks.
Sorry to bother you. Are you just not able to get on any site right now?
Oh no, we're down. Okay. We're down completely. but you know, we've done a lot of investigation and research on The Economist magazine. We're looking into, for example, and Eric the Tech, my goodness, he's been a very, very good resource on this about, you know, the Super Bowl halftime program. And there are things right now that when you take a few steps back and look at the tells, the signals, the information that is being provided by the powers, we can get an idea of what might be coming our way, okay? And it's looking through a glass darkly, but it's also using investigative reasoning and intellectual research research intellectually into certain various issues or various areas. So look, one of the very interesting things we heard yesterday, and Steve Quayle mentioned this, and Ross Powell mentioned this, the significance of numbers. You know, the Baltic Dry Index, that number that where it landed, okay, it's multiples of 3, the lowest
369.
369, okay. And that's a very interesting number by itself, okay, because when you take 3, of course, 3 is a very powerful satanic number. 9 is a multiple of 3. 3 times 3 is 9. And then 6, it's also a multiple of 3. There are messages, and I do believe this to be the case, and we talked about this before. The number of fake Twitter accounts, I think, fake Twitter followers by Obama was 19.5 million. Yeah. So, I mean, all of these. Now, okay, throw into the mix David Bowie. And throw into the mix Ruckman, I believe it is. Rickman. I keep wanting to say Ruckman for him. You know, the guy on Die Hard, although he was a big Shakespearean actor. But, and then, of course, Glenn Frey.
Oh, that's who he was.
Okay. But see, here's the thing with Bowie, David Bowie. You've got to take a look at the ceremony behind David Bowie's death and resurrection. Okay, because we look at what's taking place, and people might not believe this, and they say, well...
Now, David Bowie released some kind of...
Black Star album.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a satanic type of music album?
Well,
because I'm unfamiliar with them.
Yeah, it's more than that, okay? Because and this goes back to everything we've been talking about with respect to Tavistock and going back into the counterculture. And this is why this is so important, because the groundwork laid by Tavistock and the groundwork laid through the counterculture has allowed this this occult takeover and this brainwashing. And people will look at the death of, and I saw this on a conservative forum where people were saying, you know, may he rest in peace. And yes, I understand that, David Bowie. But they're missing the occult significance of certain things with respect to David Bowie. And people might say, well, he died from cancer. How can that be a conspiracy? Well, perhaps tomorrow, and I think tomorrow maybe, we'll get deep into that. And the reason for that is not to give you a bunch of useless information, but that gives us a better barometer of the of where we're at and how that is the death and the actions around David Bowie, his death, and even Rickman, how that does perhaps foretell what is taking place. And, you know, Sheila Zielinski was talking about the Luciferian aspects of the green agenda. Well, this fits right in there. It fits. You might think, how? Well, it does, in ways that you've never, ever even conceived of. The lie is so deep. It is so multi-layered. It is so complex. And we hope to give you some sort of, at least a good working outline. And even Mark R., I'm not going to get into, Mark R. has sent an email here. Of course, and I'll just reference this very quickly here, in Bowie's new single, Black Star, he openly mocks Christianity and the crucifixion in a tormenting and painful 13-minute death ritual, as Bowie states near the end of the nightmare satanic ritual numerous times, I am the I am. This,
you know,
has a
Joel Osteen's book name, I Am.
Yes, and it is an absolute mockery of Jesus Christ. But this is, see, and this is what most people don't understand. This mockery is now open in the forefront. And, you know, when, for example, I wouldn't have gotten this 5 years ago, a couple of years ago. I wouldn't have understood it or the significance of it. And the people in the power, the occultists in the power, in the back rooms, in the bowels of the Saudi mansions, and even in the White House, perhaps, are laughing at us and saying, you're not getting it. You know, it's right in your face. And he writes that a direct reference to the Bible and what Jesus Christ answered to the Pharisees. This is absolute, and even Mark R. writes, this is absolute in-your-face blasphemy and contempt. Bowie calling himself God. And his death, if you get into the facts, the public facts, what was presented, well, it's actually a counterfeit of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, why is it important? Because this is on a singular level of Bowie and his connections to Crowley, his connections to the counterculture. This is Exhibit A in the trial of humanity, or the trial of the Luciferian elite against all of Christian humanity. And this is so important. So, you know, it's extremely telling when you get into this. And maybe we'll visit that tomorrow. Go ahead, Joe.
One last story here before we reach the end of the show. federal deficit to soar in 2016 after the Ryan-Obama tax deal. Now, I haven't heard about too much of this in the news. I don't know about you guys. The tax cut deal inked by President Obama and House Speaker Paul Ryan last month put a major dent in the federal budget, helping send the deficit soaring by 24%, the Congressional Budget Office said Tuesday. The $544 billion deficit projected for 2016 marks the first year since 2009 that the red ink has grown, and its powers the deficit back up over the half-trillion mark where it has been for most of Obama's tenure. The rest of the decade will only get worse, the CBO said, with Social Security beginning to draw down its trust funds in 2018 and overall deficits surging back above the $1 trillion mark by 2022. Struck by the grim news, budget watchdog said politicians need to heed the wake-up call. Turning a blind eye to the problem, as so many congressional presidential candidates have done, merely means they are passing the buck to the next generation, as concerns about political damage outweigh policy advantages. Stephen Bell said, a senior director of economic policy at the Bipartisan Policy Council. I don't know Bernie Sanders had called for a $19.7 trillion tax hike if elected president. I'm not even sure if that would fix the problem of the deficit. Each year, the federal government continues to increase the taxes, yet every quarter that they collect more, they set new records in their collection of taxes, yet they spend more, and they're in the red more. I mean, if they were to take Dave Ramsey's get out of debt classes and apply them to our government, they're pretty much on the opposite end of that spectrum. They have spent us into poverty and into slavery.
And by design, and that's, you know what, folks, that is, that's our intent, because we have sold, or we have allowed them to take our birthright. And I don't mean to be, understand when I say this, I'm talking about the inheritance of our children. And it's
right. What's going to be left? The last generation, and, you know, generations before, what has been continuing to be left down to children and to future generations? Tax burdens.
It's horrible.
Know, future debt, government debt and spending.
I wanted to ask Ross yesterday, you know, and I asked you, I think, when he was talking, we had the mic off, I said, really, I mean, do we really have to pay that debt? Is that debt legitimate that we've got? I mean, who do we owe that debt to?
It's legitimate only if the Federal Reserve gets their way.
Right, but see, yeah, I'm just convinced people are so, I don't know, they're just so out of touch with things.
Right, just boggles my mind that they can collect, you know, the record number of taxes each quarter, half, each year, yet continue to plunge further and further into trillions and trillions more dollars in debt. It just doesn't make sense unless we were being robbed and gamed.
Amen. I just want to say thank you to Sheila Zielinski, WeekendVigilante.com, Dave Hodges, TheCommonSenseShow.com. Folks, if you didn't catch the first 2 hours of this amazing program tonight, amazing not because of us, but in spite of us and because of our guests, Dave Hodges and Sheila Zielinski.
And go to TheCommonSenseShow and read Dave's latest article on the food shortages in America.
Yes.
That's a must read.
And we need to reassess what's going on with Ammon Bundy and the ranch situation out there.
And Sheila's book is called Green Gospel, The New World Religion, and you can go to greengospel.ca. That's greengospel.ca. Folks, even if you're interested in the book, go to greengospel.ca and check out the website. You won't be disappointed.
Amen. God bless all of you. Folks,
we'll
Doug
be back
and Joe,
tomorrow.
Yeah, we have left the building.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.